Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And again, Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. How did you not enjoy that weather? It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. Perfect temps. Hopefully we'll get the same this week, although it looks like it's going to be even hotter this week. There's going to be a lot of maybe 80-degree days here as we get a little bit closer to the month of November. Darren McFarland here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging out in East Nashville. Chase McCabe is feeling very sorry for his Bravos, and he will not be on in the first hour. He says he needs an hour to recoup from last night and to get his thoughts together before he can start the show in his mind. That's not really it. He's actually got family matters to deal with, but he will join us soon. But it was in the seventh inning when Chase's mood did change with the solo shot by one Cody Bellinger, Willie. And I was telling Chase in our group text, just relax, man. Enjoy this. This is a good game. You're getting baseball fans. You're getting what you want. I mean, what a day of sports in this area. Man, if you weren't glued to Titans Texans, they have no chance of ever reeling you in. If you weren't glued to that game seven last night, then baseball has no chance of ever getting you in. But then after that home run, I said, okay, now you can start stressing.
I'm sure he really appreciated that chain of events right there. Yes. From you, Darren.
Yeah, it was quite the pep talk, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a great game, though. Both games, right? I think we'll remember those. Yeah, that's what you want from a game seven. Not just that it was a close game and there were dramatic home runs, but there were other great plays within the game that any one of them could have swung the game, right? Mookie's catch, the hard ground ball where the Braves gave up two outs with second and third and nobody out. Just a lot of plays that could have changed the outcome. But that's what you want. As a person that wasn't really rooting for either team, I enjoyed the heck out of it. I know if you're rooting for one of the teams, I know the feeling that Chase had, right? You're just every single pitch glued to your seat. You can't move. You're tense. Chase kept talking about heart palpitations. And I get it, right? But that's why we love sports, right? And everything was the same with the Titans and Texans, right? Just every single play down the stretch could have changed the game. And you come out of the game writing all these things down. Wow, it could have been different if this happened. Why did they do this? And what about this decision? What about the coin toss and overtime? I mean, that's what you love about sports there.
I told, and you've been through this, because you're further along in those stages of parenthood or being a father, so you've experienced this, but I told one of my coaches last night, my heart melted. I'm upstairs in the bonus room, which you've been in many times, and I'm just watching the game, and Maddox comes running into the room and says, wow, that was a big strikeout with two on. And my heart melted. I mean, he's never said that before. I mean, he's never, you know, he's into YouTube and Fortnite. And I mean, you know, it's not like he wouldn't watch a game or at least peek in on a game, but he was actually watching. And this whole kid pitch has changed his mentality. And until we started, you know, doing that, which we had our first scrimmage this past weekend, I feel like that's kind of changed his mindset. Like I said, he's never done that before. Now all of a sudden he's watching pitchers and he comes in and says, boy, that was a huge strikeout with two on, you know, to get out of the inning. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I've never heard my son say that, who just turned nine. But, you know, that's one of the cool things. Like I feel like, you know, this may be a birthday I'll remember. Like he's growing up, like teardrop. He's growing up. Holy cow. Maybe he's going to start watching more sports rather than playing, you know, Fortnite all the time. So it was cool. It was a cool moment. And it was an awesome game. Obviously, I had nothing at stake. You know, there's Braves players I like and root for. And I know we've got tons of friends and family members that love the Braves. I mean, half of our baseball team is like all in on the Braves, so there's that side of me rooting for the Braves. And, you know, you've got, you know, the Mookie Betts, you've got Walker, I mean, you've got the Dodgers side of things too, right? That, you know, I don't have a dog in this fight, and so I'm just sitting back relaxing and enjoying it as a baseball fan. And for me, it was a great game. I mean, it was fantastic. But I didn't have one particular rooting interest. I was going to be cool with the outcome. I don't know if that makes people mad, but that was where I was. Sorry, I was going to be fine with whatever happens. Whoever made it, I was going to be like, cool, all right, that's good. I'll be rooting for them in the World Series. But I know there were a lot more Braves fans listening to the show and a lot less Dodgers fans, so maybe I should have said I was Braves slanted. But anyway, that was my moment last night. Great game, though.
It was a great game, and the Rays won their Game 7. So after all of the talk about baseball expanding the playoffs, it's a little double-edged sword for me. But after all that, the two top seeds, the two best teams during the short regular season made it to the World Series. So there were upsets along the way. So I guess if you're like a bracket person, NCAA tournament, you got what you wanted. You got some upsets, you had some surprises, but the two best teams made it. So you're going to have a really exciting World Series, I think. I'm worried, though. I don't want 8 teams from each league in going forward. We'll have that discussion down the road, I'm sure. But I just don't like the 2 out of 3. But I think the baseball playoffs, you got to say, have been delivered pretty well in terms of drama. And we'll look forward to the World Series, which will be a little more normal. You actually have some days off, the normal days off during the series.
Starts tomorrow, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, then off, then Friday. So, yes, they are going to actually have. And, look, that did play a factor into this series. There's no doubt.
Every day.
Yeah, it changed the mindset of the skippers. And whenever you know you don't have those off days to rely on, it changed them. I mean, look, it almost cost the Braves game 2 because of that mindset, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it was the right call at the time. You're up 8-3 going into the ninth. You got a 5-run lead going into the ninth. Hey, how about I save my horse, you know, for another game? We have to play every day, so I'm not going to burn him here. And then it was quickly, rut-row, okay, I got to go to him now. And, you know, they escaped by the hair on their chinny-chin-chin, winning 8-7 with bases loaded. But yeah, you had to do that. You had to think like that, right? It wasn't normal circumstances. So
it created a ton of difficult decisions, especially in this day and age where you don't have starters that can get deep into the game very often. You don't have too many starters that can do it. And so you were doing inventory in the bullpen. Who do we like? Who's fresh? Who can give me 3 outs? Who can give me 6 outs? It was compelling for sure.
And so we will lean on our slew of MLBers that we bring on as guests, friends of the show. We'll lean on one of them for sure tomorrow and probably all week. We'll bring them on and we'll talk about this World Series and we'll talk about what you just said, that they were just in this season. So we'll ask them, like it, don't like it, moving forward, would you like to see an extra round? Are you okay with it? We'll get a player's perspective. This week for sure. We can ask all those questions. Before we move on, we've got a big game to talk about. You've got a big game in your household tomorrow.
We do. It's not in the household, but
it's not in the
involving
household.
Involving someone
in your household.
Yeah. Well, my young goalie, the senior, Evie Donick, this is the last hurrah for her high school career. They played in the region tournament last week and finished third. They had a tough loss against the one seed in the semifinals, which was not an elimination game, turned around and won their last home game that they'll ever play as a group. And it's a big group of seniors, some of which started playing together and they were 6 years old, if you can believe that, Darren. So picture that for Maddox. You know, some people, they ended up at the same school, not the whole way through. Some of them, you know, they split off and played at other teams, but they were back together in high school. So they played a lot of soccer games together. They won a very dramatic game in the final minute on Saturday to end up the home side. And now They're in the sectionals, sub-state, whatever you like to call it. There's 12 teams left, and they're playing at Chattanooga Notre Dame tomorrow to try to reach the Elite Eight. So, exciting. Exciting. This is it.
So this is all single elimination,
now this is it. It's all
right?
single elimination from
so
here.
So it's gotten real in the Donnick household.
Oh, man, okay? It's gotten real.
So every game presents – Evie, this could be your last game ever in high school. So that's the pressure she's facing right now.
They faced elimination last Tuesday. They had to win that one, and they won pretty easily. It was 2-1 at the half, and then they broke it open late, won 6-1. So that relieved, because then you knew you had at least three more games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so you could sit back and enjoy a little bit more. But it was exciting. It was fun. And just like I know everybody who's got high schoolers and middle schoolers that are playing, you cherish every moment that they get to play, right? Because you just don't know what can happen. We look all around the country and there's, you know, games that have to be moved or stopped and things like that. So I'm just really thankful that they've gotten to this point, right? So knock on wood, they can finish out this season and say, you know, we had a good senior year, regardless of where the chips fall.
Well, best of luck to them tomorrow, and we'll keep close tabs on that for sure. I saw this first from Peter Gammons' tweet. I don't know why I saw it first from Peter Gammons, considering what he's done over the last, like, 40 years. But Mike Doc Emrick has announced that he is retiring after 47 years as a broadcaster in the National Hockey League. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and like I said, the first person I saw was Peter Gammons reporting that, so I don't know.
Wow.
I was like, okay, should I believe this? He's got the blue check mark. That is Peter Gammons. He covers baseball, but he has tweeted out that Mike Doc Emrick has announced his retirement. So,
I'm seeing it right now. 3,750-plus professional and Olympic hockey games. 100 different verbs used to describe a pass or a shot. Now, isn't that fitting? 22 Stanley Cup finals.
Wow.
Wow.
Now
he,
that
he is
makes
truly one of a kind. I think you would agree.
Now that makes, without a doubt, that interview at the Winter Classic in Dallas, there at our table ringside, the day before the Winter Classic. I guess that would have been New Year's Eve, right?
Yep.
And just him sticking around and talking with us, that'll make that a little bit more special. Knowing, I don't know if my path will ever cross again with Mike Doc Emrick in person. So I'll treasure that interview a little bit more. Moving forward today, but huge loss for the hockey community. I don't know, you know, I mean, I just feel like he's just one of those voices. It's like Vin Scully and others. You don't know what to think of listening to a sport or a team without hearing their voice.
Boy, that's,
and it'll be weird next year, right?
It will. And at the same time, I think, I don't know who will get the gig as the number one guy for NBC, because to me there are two choices where you can't go wrong with either one, because I think it's Kenny Albert or John Forslund, if I had to guess. Those were the two guys doing the other huge games throughout the tournament and have done, you know, the next tier of games throughout the last several seasons. I mean, Kenny Albert called the Western Conference Final, for example, here when the Predators made it to the Stanley Cup in 2017, John Forslund called a lot of the games along. Those guys are both absolutely brilliant. And so I think whoever they go with, they can't go wrong. It'll be, I think, probably a pretty tough call when you get down to it. But you're right. I mean, you think about 22 years of the Stanley Cup final here in the same voice. And let's think about the Olympics, too, right? All the Olympic games that we've watched with him on the call. And nobody calls a game like him. You can't imitate him.
Nope.
You know? And so that's he's right up there with all the greatest. You know, you got your Vince Scullys and your Bob Costas, your Al Michaels. He's just right in there.
No doubt. Kenny Albert did tweet out this morning, "Congratulations to Mike Doc Emrick on a legendary career. He was and is hockey's Vince Scully. Doc's calls will be
good call.
Replayed and enjoyed for generations to come, the greatest of all time and even better person." Very, very true. In fact, I'll never forget the interview that I did with Doc at the United Center in Chicago on a Predators morning skate before that round one series against the Blackhawks, which they would eventually sweep them, as we know, in the memorable season, in the run to the Stanley Cup. And if you remember, in that interview, he gave out his email to young broadcasters. Email me. I'll help you with your career. You know, just – and I was like – I was sitting there going, oh, my gosh, did Doc Emrick just give out his email for the world to hear and say, hey, you know, email me. I'll help you, young broadcasters. And if you remember, Richard Deitch got wind of that and posted something on that in his media column.
Oh, yeah. Richard's done some great work on Mike Emrick. He really appreciates him. But, yeah, doesn't that say everything you need in terms about in terms of paying it forward and trying to help the next wave of broadcasters coming up? I mean, that just shows you the substance behind Mike Emrick.
Yep. All right, we will turn our attention to the game that was yesterday at Nissan Stadium, and you just continue to shake your head, or at least I do, going, holy cow, they did it again. How in the world did they escape yesterday with another W? And it's going to set up now a Titanic matchup this Sunday against the Steelers. So we will talk about the Titans-Texans game on the other side. Teron Davenport to kick off the second hour of the program. Mike Vrabel will speak at 12:30 today. So we will get his reaction and let you hear what the head coach has to say. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Look at this. Tannehill's right down here.
Yeah, Derek, on the overtime run, just kind of if you could take us through, you know, what you saw as you get the snap, and you know what you're looking like and or what you're looking at, and how that run was executed.
Just a wildcat play inside zone, going to the right. Just look at the defense by the way they were flowing. Our guys were blocking, got backside, and just tried to get vertical and got in the end zone. They did a great job blocking. Hats off to my teammates. I just had to go do my job.
Was there a guy or two there at the goal line that you just figured, okay, the only way I'm getting in is basically to run over these guys?
I mean, that's what I had to do to get in the end zone, so that's what I was going to do. Thank God I got in there.
Keaton Catt worked in overtime. What a finish. 42-36. Over a division foe, and Derrick Henry absolutely owns, and I mean owns, two teams in his division. Jacksonville and Houston now. Add them to the list of two teams that must just cringe twice a year knowing that they have to face 22 because he is absolutely embarrassed. Both teams in the division, and Buffalo's probably glad, Josh Norman especially, that they're not in the same division with the Titans. But those two teams must cringe every year because Keaton Henry makes them look ridiculously silly. And this is now two games in a row. He has run all over the Titans. But the bigger question is, Willie, in the fourth quarter, I would like to know from you, because I know mine, and I'm getting ready to put on display my feelings of they're not going to win this. Like, holy crap, I can't believe they lost this game. They were in control. And they're going to lose it. But did you ever have that feeling? I mean, was it after the interception? Was it after the Houston touchdown late? I mean, can you believe? Did you ever? Or you're like, you know, Ryan Tannehill's got having an MVP-type season. The Titans have come back before. They used to close games. They're fine. Or were you like me going, I can't believe that they're going to lose this game?
I was really curious to see where you wanted to go as to kick this thing off, because after a game like that, one of the toughest things is there's so many things.
Like, where do you start?
Where do you start trying to break down a game like that? So, yeah, let's start there. I, all along, and maybe I was, you know, overthinking it, but even as they were leading 21-10, I was thinking, man, there's just no way they're going to sail through this thing. I guess I wasn't totally shocked. I wasn't totally shocked that the Texans came back. I've been thinking all along they've got to hit a wall somewhere after all they've been through and all of the practice time they've missed, all the conditioning stuff that got interrupted. And maybe I overplayed it in my mind, But because I was always in that mode, I wasn't shocked. Because also, too, it's just law of averages. Take all the other stuff aside that they were that they went through with all the outbreak and all that. They were just due to have something go wrong, especially offensively. They were almost perfect, right? So it's like then you lose Taylor Lewan and a guy gets a strip sack. It's like it's going to happen every now and then. And Deshaun Watson is I think we talked about it all along. They're 1-4, the Texans. They got all kinds of issues, but they've played really, really tough teams. So the difference on paper wasn't that big. And so when the Texans came back, I wasn't that shocked. Now, the shocking thing to me was that when Houston scored, they didn't kick to put them up by eight, themselves up by eight. That was shocking. And I still would like to know the analytics or what went into the decision there. It's probably out there somewhere. I have not seen it. But that gave me the ray of hope.
Well,
at
Rich
that point,
Gannon showed you.
Right.
He
the
was
2-point
very
card.
Adamant.
Oh, man. But Jay Feely was talking about analytics. And I was just like, if that's the case, I would like to hear the argument from that side because I don't know it. Like, I've never seen a team do that. Right?
Well,
every single time I've seen a team go up in that situation, you kick to go up eight. And you say, all right, you got to score and get the two.
Here's my guess, Willie. So, obviously, you know, let me state the obvious first. You get the 2-point conversion. Game over, right? That's it. Game is over. Like there's no denying that. That's game over. You don't get it. My guess is your odds, probably the gap between kicking the extra point and not getting the 2-point conversion probably are pretty slim. Like you still have about the same amount of odds or just a little tiny gap of still winning the game. That would be my guess. That's the only thing that makes any sense, right? Like,
right.
Okay, you get the 2-point conversion. Game over. You don't get it. It's really not much different than kicking the extra point. The odds still, the analytics will tell you, you still have a great shot of winning the game. That will be my guess. That's the only thing that makes any sense. I am with Rich Gannon. I said here, if I was in the booth, I would have sounded like Rich Gannon, who was adamant, to say the least, about his displeasure in that call. And to his credit, he kept saying, and they could come back and lose this game. Like, this may bite. I mean, he was adamant, like, saying this was not after the fact. This was right afterwards and during it going, this is a bad decision. I don't care what it says. There's times when you just have to take the 2-point card and the chart or whatever, the sheet, and tear it up. You don't look at analytics. Be smart. I'm with Rich Gannon. If I was in the booth, I would have sounded like that. At the time, I'm going, what a huge mistake. This makes no sense. It just makes no sense at all. And I know people will say, Romeo Crennel, he's not going to be the next head coach. He's got nothing to lose. Well, but do you know that? Like, so Houston goes on and wins that game. What if they get on a roll? What if they win their next six games? All of a sudden, you're telling me Romeo Crennel does not have a chance? We've seen this happen before. Now, remember the Dolphins? Who was the big tight ends coach, Dan Campbell. Remember, didn't he take over as the interim? And then all of a sudden, in fact, one of the games was they came in here. I think it was the first game they came in here and beat up on the Titans, and they got on a roll, a bad Dolphins team. It does happen, and sometimes you kind of force them to keep you, and it may only last a year. But you can't just say, you know, game five, like you've got no chance when he's already won the first game. Like, I just don't buy that. Like, he didn't go, the heck with it. I'd have no chance with this. Just go for it. I don't care. Baloney. I'm sure that he either had somebody in his ear, give him the analytics, or he had the chart. He looked at it and said, all right, let's just put him away. Let's go for two. I think it was a horrible decision. It makes no sense why you just don't kick the extra point and make them score and convert a 2-point conversion. Just think about that. After that unbelievable catch by A.J. Brown, which we can talk about as well, I want to know, did you think – I mean, we watched the replay over and
we'll
over and
that.
Over
oh,
and
yeah,
over
we'll
again.
Get that.
So we'll table that. So after they come back and say the play on the field stands, okay, great. You're not – you don't have the same celebration. It's like, okay, now we need to gather. Now we have to come up with a 2-point conversion to tie it. which, oh, by the way, the Texans could not do in their last possession. And if you get that stop like the Titans did, it's game over. It just negates everything that just happened. Everybody's going crazy. What a catch by A.J. Brown. Boom, two-point conversion doesn't happen. Game over. Texans win. And you escape. But to just make it seven, it's just, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I think that's going back to your original question. When they got that ray of hope, when it was seven, that's when I said, all right, I still think they have a chance. Because the offense had been so good, right? They gave them the one more chance. I'm looking over the recap in The Athletic of why they went for it. And I think I don't know if it was based on any new wave analytics, right? I think it was just they were aggressive. They've been aggressive since Crennel took over. They were very aggressive in some fourth down situations last week and very successful. I understood going for it and not going up by four, right? Remember, they had a fourth and goal from the one where they went for it and got it to go into that situation, right? They could have kicked it.
Yes.
And I understood that because the defense isn't stopping the Titans.
Correct.
Right? I think at that point you're like, yeah, we got to try to win it here because I don't feel good about stopping the Titans from scoring. There's too much time left. Let's go for it. We're the underdogs. That worked. But then we know, and this is where I guess you could call it analytics, but this is just the numbers, right? A two-point conversion is different than fourth and goal at the one. A two-point conversion is about a 50-50 shot,
yes,
and usually a little less, right? It usually falls between, say, 45 to 50%. So to go up eight, yeah, you're not loving your defense's chances of stopping them from scoring a touchdown. But also, I just think it weighs on a team to know, man, we not only do we have to score a touchdown, but we got to get a two also.
Yep.
Right? I think you put that pressure on the Titans there. So I see the aggressiveness. I see the idea that, boy, I don't like our matchup, our defense against their offense. But that just I just think that was too bold. Too bored. And you could see the Titans almost, their eyes lit up. Oh, they're giving us a chance. They're giving us a chance to stay within seven here. Okay. And Jeffrey Simmons made the great play. Now, if he doesn't deflect that ball, it's an easy catch, and it's 2 points, and it's the game over. So, but it's a 50-50. Right? When you go for two, you take a chance that something like that can happen.
Here's my biggest beef with analytics in this particular instance. You know, we always talk because, me and you have gone round and round about all this, and Floyd is old school too, and I've come around. At first, I'd be like, give me the eyeball test. It's much deeper than that these days. I am more than willing to listen to analytics, but here's where, to me, Willie, the analytics cannot factor in this. This is not on your chart. I don't believe so. I need to see the chart. I need to see the chart that says when you're playing this team, this team, this team, this team, this team, this team, and I want to see if it has different answers for each team. Because here's the deal. If you're going up against Kansas City or Baltimore, are you telling me it's the same chart than if you're going up against Washington with Kyle Allen and the Denver Broncos with, I don't know, fill-in-the-blank quarterback? I don't know who's quarterbacking them these days. Drew Lock's back in there.
He came back yesterday, yeah.
So are you telling me – so the point is, if you're Houston, who's hotter in the NFL right now than Ryan Tannehill?
Nobody.
Right? Nobody, right? So, okay, so you have to factor that in. So
sure.
Ryan Tannehill's – so you can't approach it the same way. So to me, you almost have to – the way I'm looking at it is there's nobody hotter in the league right now than Ryan Tannehill. So you almost have to –
and on that day, and on this particular day.
And on this day, right, there's the other part of it. There's the other layer I was going to get to. How's the game playing out? Is the game 13-7, or 14-7, and you're going for two? Has it been an offensive struggle, a defensive battle? No. This has been a shootout all day. Neither defense could stop anybody. So you've got a hot quarterback. So with that being said, to me, I know a defensive mind like Romeo Crennel cannot think, hey, I know we're going to give up a touchdown on this final drive, but you have to factor that in a little bit. So why wouldn't you try to make it a little bit harder? You know what I mean? I know he's not going, hey, we're going to give up a touchdown. But what's a little bit – although you could say Gostkowski definitely struggled yesterday. But let's make it a little bit harder, like a touchdown and a two-point conversion, as opposed to just a touchdown and the extra point.
Right. That's where the analytics – and I'm looking – I was trying to just comb through, as we've been talking about this, what has come out in the aftermath of it, because I knew there would be. Somebody from Houston, I guess it was the writer that covers them, asked an organization.
Aaron Wilson?
Yeah. An organization called Edge Sports. They tweet out analytics and stuff. So they actually saw what happened. They were asked about it, and they said, we liked kicking the extra point in terms of the win probability by 1%. So it was almost a wash in terms of your win probability, but what that doesn't figure in, right?
And that's what I just said.
This is the whole with analytics, is the mental part of it, right? The mental part of it. You have to quantify the mental, and you can't quantify it, right? But you have, that's where the feel of the game is so important, right? I just think, regardless of who the quarterback is, you make a great argument that you're talking about this particular offense on fire, full of confidence, been on a roll, everything's gone right for them, and your defense can't stop them. That's that's certainly an easy one. But on top of that, any situation, when it's very different when a team is coming down and knows, no matter what, if we score a touchdown here, we can kick to tie. Of course, it was maybe not a given because Gostkowski was a little shaky. Don't tell me your heart wasn't pounding a little bit as they called timeout to freeze him. That was not a given that he made the extra point. But I think it changes your outlook when you – have the pressure of knowing we got to score and we have to get the two.
If you're playing Washington and Kyle Allen, fine. Just go for it, try to put them away and say, so be it. Oh, we didn't get it. We'll still stop Kyle Allen, right? We won't let him drive the length of the field and score a touchdown on us. That's fine. But you're going up against arguably the hottest quarterback in the league. And so I know a defensive mind like Cronell is not going, well, we're going to give up a touchdown. But you have to at least have that in the back of your mind. You have done nothing to stop the Titans, and the Titans, vice versa, had done nothing to stop the Texans on defense. If they do score, what's going to be tougher? I get it. Gostkowski's been struggling. But he's also proven on the biggest moment, in the biggest spots, with something on the line, he also connects, right? I mean, you can't count him down and out when there's something on the line. He may have a future in Canton someday, maybe, depending on how much longer he kicks. So he has proven over the years, a long time, he's going to make the big kicks. So why wouldn't you make it? The toughest spot is to make them go and try to get the 2 point as well. So I there's nothing anybody can say to change my mind, and it's not saying it after the fact. I felt exactly like Rich Gannon. I felt like I was channeling my inner self through Rich Gannon, because he was just as adamant on the broadcast. Kyle has weighed in on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Mm-hmm. Kyle, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I actually have the analytics here. And the difference between 8 and 9 isn't very much, but what they don't talk about is if you fail to get the 2-point conversion like they did and stay up 7, the difference between 7 and 8 is over 1%. So if you go up 9, you have a 98.2% chance to win. If you go up 8, it's 98.1. It's only 1/10 difference. But if you don't get it at all and you stay up 7, your win percentage goes to 96.9. So from 96.9 to 98 is a little over 1%. So I was screaming too, like, why are they just kicking an extra point? But analytics, like you guys said, sometimes you need to let the coaches coach and not worry about the numbers so much.
Interesting.
Right, because it's really well put, and you're making up your mind before you know the outcome. We know the outcome. Of course, Fairbairn had missed an extra point earlier in the game. You have to look at that. But if you line him up to kick the extra point, it's 95% that he's making it, right? And if you line up for go for two, we know it's 45 to 50%. Now, you might say, hey, I got Deshaun Watson. He's red hot. Maybe my chances are actually much higher than 45%, but you never know, right? The defense has got a chance to stop something. You rarely can stop an extra point. You got to screw up an extra point. That's why it's just, to me, I think it was way too bold to go for two there.
What puzzles me is how is it that small of a gap if it's two possessions?
Like, I can't imagine. First of all, I don't know how, to your point, Elijah, how do you go, how's it, what did he say, 0.1? 0.1?
I don't understand.
Between, to me,
8 and 9 huge.
Going up 9 points with that time, two possessions, is 99.9. I mean,
that's what I would say.
99.999. Yeah, 99.9% you're going to win the game.
That doesn't make sense to me because like the difference between 8 and 9 should be a lot larger than that.
Yes.
Because then you need two scores, which is why I would go for it in that situation. I would have done the same thing. It's because, I mean, you have Deshaun Watson with the ball and 2 yards to put the game away, and you're not stopping Ryan Tannehill.
So you were okay with it. You were okay with it.
And I'm thinking the same thing as Darren, too, is our defense isn't stopping. If you're the Texans, your defense isn't stopping a nosebleed right now. You're not doing anything. Derrick Henry is running all over you. The last thing you want to do is give them a chance to even like tie the game, take it to overtime, and then that coin toss, essentially giving away the game if the Titans win it, which is what happened. If I have Deshaun Watson, who was absolutely balling in that second half, I mean, he had as good a half of football as a quarterback could have. I trust him with 2 yards away to put the game away more than I would that defense against a red-hot Titans offense. Because even then, I think they'd get the two-point conversion. The Titans would have the same feeling. Like Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry 2 yards away after a touchdown, I feel like that's almost a higher chance than an extra point. So I go for two every time. Put it away right there. Make them score twice in a minute 50. I don't think you do that because you have to recover an onside kick.
I'm actually surprised that there's not as much howling out of Houston as I thought there would be in terms of the write-ups of the games. Now, you know the fans are going to be the Monday morning quarterbacks, hindsight 2020. I'm sure that there's a high percentage ripping them for doing that. But there's not as much backlash as I thought there would be. Because here's what – I understand your argument, Elijah, and that's where Romeo Crennel was coming from, right? They want to be aggressive. They want to put the game in Deshaun Watson's hands. But I think when you're talking about one play for a two-point conversion, that's why it's so hard, right? That's why people don't get 75% or 80%. When you're talking about one play, you got a chance to make one play. Jeffrey Simmons made the play, right? And just on the flip side, if they had kicked it and the Titans score on A.J. Brown's touchdown, everything's the same, and now you've got to get a two on top of that. After that thrilling catch, the review, now you got to refocus and you got to make one more play. That's a lot of pressure.
But, I mean, that Texans defense was so bad
in
that game, though.
But
would you rather trust Deshaun
Watson? I get it,
Watson?
But on one play. But for one play, the Texans defense could stop him.
Oh, well, on one play, yeah. But on one play, Deshaun Watson can get 2 yards just as easily.
He can.
If not more easier.
But the Titans have a chance to make one play. They made the play.
Well, yeah, but would you rather, if you're the Texans, I mean, the guy who is in charge of making the play, the quarterback, the most important position on your team, the guy controlling the show, having the control of that play? Because, I mean, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons made a great play. I mean,
But here's the other part that I don't know if the analytics is putting this out. Okay, I kick it. I'm the Texans. The Titans score. Okay, I've let off that. I don't have that safety net anymore. I still got my one play. The Titans make that play. Now what happens? We go to overtime. You still have a chance to win the game,
oh,
right?
Of course,
if you win the
yeah.
coin flip, you still have a great chance of winning the game. So that there's another layer of a way that you can still win the game.
See, I just,
if you kick the extra point and go up 8.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like the Titans are scoring that just about as easily anyway. Because, like I said, the defense just wasn't stopping anybody. If I'm the coach, though, if I'm Romeo Crennel, I still feel more confident with Deshaun Watson being in control to make the play that wins the game than my defense having to stop Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and then maybe the game going to overtime and it being decided by a coin flip because you're not stopping them anyway. So,
Darren, I'm surprised this is even a big argument, honestly.
I am too.
I don't get it.
There's so much.
I'm an analytics guy.
Well, if they get the two-point conversion, then we're not talking about it. We're talking about how genius the play was. I mean, because then the game's over. I mean, you're not scoring 9 points in a minute 50 unless you recover an onside kick, which if the Atlanta Falcons taught us anything, that's never a given. But, I mean, two possessions in 150, and I have a chance to do that if Deshaun Watson makes one play. I'm doing that every time.
Here's the way I look at it. if you kick the extra point, nobody's saying anything. What you do when you go for two, you leave yourself. If you don't get it, this is what you get on Monday. If you kick the extra point and go up eight, and your defense can't stop them, and they still Titans still score a touchdown, still get the 2-point conversion, and then they still lose in overtime, nobody's questioning it. I don't think anybody's coming back and going, now, wait a minute. I think they should have went for two.
I mean,
it's way, way less than what we're having today. Way less.
Agreed. But that is where analytics have sort of changed the book, right? The old book. And even the card, the 2-point card, I think some analytics people have challenged some of those things. And when we come back for the last segment, we could talk about there was a time where Mike Vrabel went for two after A.J. Brown's game. He could have gone for two to win it right there and said, I got the best offense. I'm not going to have it come down to a coin flip. I'm going to try to win it there. Would that have been a good decision? What would analytics tell you? I think that's isn't that a great question that we'll never know the answer to?
Well, I think if they kick the extra point and then Titans score a touchdown, get the 2-point conversion, and then the same result happens in overtime, wouldn't we also be saying, well, the Texans could have put it away if they would have gone for two at that moment? Because then, of course, obviously 9-point game, got to score twice. I think we're still having the same discussion. The reason we're having this discussion the way we are is because for the Texans, it didn't work out.
We'll come back. We will close up shop on the first hour. Hunter, we'll get to you on the other side. He wants to weigh in. You're listening to Darren Dottie and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Doubleheader Monday Night Football tonight. First game starts at 4 o'clock our time. It'll be shown on Fox. Chiefs and Bills, both teams coming off their first loss of the season. Of course, Buffalo here against the Titans on Tuesday night, Kansas City losing to the Raiders. So they will be at Orchard Park in Buffalo. So that game kicks off at 4 o'clock. That's on Fox. And then the nightcap will be the traditional Monday night ESPN game, and it'll be the Cardinals in Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Let's go to Hunter, who was weighed in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hunter, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I actually agree with going for two at the moment, because if you look at the game, I believe that the Texans had outscored the Titans. I think it was like 26-8 up to that point. So it was basically the Texans going for two was essentially just kind of free-rolling on an attempt to win the game, because if they didn't get it, the Titans, you know, could kick an extra point, go to OT, or if they made the extra point, Titans could go for two. And let's be honest, they probably weren't going to stop Derrick Henry from running in from 2 yards out. I mean, you saw the last play of the game. Derrick Henry took it for 5 yards just in a wildcat. So I agree with the call, and I like the call. That was a 1-4 Texans team heading into Nissan Stadium against an undefeated team. So I completely understand why he would play a little aggressive there.
Let me play on the other side, Hunter. Okay? Are you still with us?
Yep.
Are you surprised then, with that being said, a guy like Rich Gannon, he's played at a high level, right? Took a team to the Super Bowl, was a quarterback. Quarterback mentality, wouldn't you think that Rich Gannon would be on the side of you? Like, go for it. We got the defense on the ropes. I'm a quarterback. You go for two. You bury this team at their place, and you end this game. Are you surprised then with what you just said that a former quarterback who played at a high level in the NFL, took a team to the Super Bowl, would be so adamant that you absolutely kick the extra point and call it a day? Had no hesitation in his voice to go for two.
You know, at the moment, I'm sure he thought that. I mean, a lot of people are all about analytics and just, you know, analytics don't necessarily – you use analytics to kind of inform you on what decision to make. But I'm not sure I didn't really agree with him. Granted, you know, he is a Super Bowl quarterback. But, I mean, you got to remember, this is a Texans team, just got their head coach fired. They had nothing to lose. So I don't I don't necessarily agree with Rich Gannon, but that's just my opinion. I can see why Cornell went for it, just because, I mean, like I said, they had nothing to lose. Now, as far as Rich Gannon's comments, maybe he's just more conservative than others.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So now let's go to the next one, Hunter. You're okay with being aggressive, going for two. So should by that token, should the Titans have gone for two when they tied it?
Yeah, I thought they did. I was rooting for them. I was hoping they would, because I didn't see the Texans stopping Derrick Henry just from 2 yards out. I mean, you saw with the last play. I mean, they just direct snapped it to Henry, and he just ran with it. I was kind of expecting something similar. So I was, you know, a little upset that they didn't go for two there just to win the game. So, you know, I would have completely been fine with them going for it.
All right, Darren, do you agree? Would you have done it?
Not, no, no.
No? Even though Guskowski had been shaky, the kicking, you know, they had a kick blocked, and he missed another one from similar distance?
Nope. Nope, nope. But by the way, it's what we've just been saying. Neither defense could stop either one, so why wouldn't you?
Right.
And your offense is rolling, so why wouldn't you
But that's an argument, because if you're Mike Vrabel, you could argue. Now, also remember the precedent. They had been burned before, the London game. We all remember.
Yes.
Right? They were on a roll. They were coming back. They didn't like their defense's chances of stopping Phillip Rivers, and they said, let's go win it right here. I think we would have had some really interesting conversations had they gone for the two right then and there to try to win it. Because I think there is an argument for it. I think Hunter, I mean, whether you agree or disagree with what Hunter's saying, he's making an argument that's legit. And I think we all knew, whoever won that coin toss, we saw Deshaun Watson's reaction as they won it.
He was
Kevin Byard would have had the same reaction if the Texans had won it, right?
Maybe so.
Because I think we all would have said, oh, boy. Are they going to be able to stop them?
Right, because we
don't
know
like
what
your
touchdown
chances at
wins
all.
It, right.
Yeah. Whoever got the ball first, you love their chances. Mm-hmm. And so you take that off the board if you're Mike Vrabel and say, I got the better offense. We got 2 yards to get. I got Derrick Henry. I got Ryan Tannehill. I got Arthur Smith. I would not have blamed them if they tried to do it right there.
I will say this for what I will agree with Hunter on when he says the Texans had nothing to lose. Well, they had something to lose. They lost a game, which maybe if you're looking for a higher draft pick, maybe that helps them because now they're 1-5. But the Titans have way more to lose. Like, there's the Texans season, let's be honest, is pretty much over. I know, be careful. The Titans were 2-4 last year, and we didn't think they were going to do anything. But this Texans team looks like a team that – you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess
You got number. You got Watson back there. You
but
got a
still,
shot.
They're 1-5 now, or they're 1-4 at the time. I just think the Titans have way more to lose. If you lose that game because of that, like they're in the driver's seat. You're in control of the division. Which, how long has it been since we've talked about a division title? It's been a long time. Okay, we talked about that this offseason, right? It was time for them to step up and win a division. Now, at the time, this was a lot more heavy before COVID, and we're like, it's time for them to have a home playoff game. Well, we don't know how that's all going to work in the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to be, you know, in bubbles, neutral sites, how this is going to play out. But it was time for the Titans to win the division. They're in control of winning this division. They are the best team in the AFC South. It doesn't mean it's going to play out that way, but as of today, right now, they are the best team in the AFC South. They should win this division. Agreed?
Well,
I know Indy came back and won yesterday. Indianapolis should have lost, but they came back and won. Shame on the Bengals. They were in control, and they totally blew that game. But still, the Titans are the best team in this division, period. Whether it plays out or not. So you got way more to lose if you go for two. It's cute if you get it, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, you know, Mike Vrabel, he's not scared of anything. Wow, what a great call. Yes, we know when you get it, you're crowned king and you're the champ and, wow, you're a genius. But if you don't and you lose, and then what if you lose the next game to Pittsburgh? Now all of a sudden you're 4-2. Now the whole narrative to the season has changed.
But
now,
I don't know if I think that really weighs into whether you go for two from there. I think it's more what you said before, Darren. It's it's more of the mental, you know, it's the feel of the moment going for two right there. I don't know if it's like it, like you're saying that because you have a chance to win a division, you go more conservative on that. I guess that's a sort of a natural thing.
Absolutely.
But what you said before, I think, is the key point. Nobody really bats an eye, generally speaking. If Crennel kicks the extra point, they go up by eight. That's the conventional thinking.
The chatter like, is and the way, Titans, way, way
sure,
less.
And the same is true for the way that Vrabel did it. Kick the extra point, go to overtime. But I think you can make the argument, hey, man, had they lost that coin toss, it would be an easy second guess to say, hey, Mike, didn't you think maybe you had a better chance? Like, I don't know what the probability was, the analytics, that same site. I don't know what they would have said there.
I wouldn't have done it. To me,
but it's the book. Narrative they went today, by the book.
This is what the narrative today would have been, at least from my perspective, is the Titans better fix their defense or this team's going no. Like, their defense just simply
right.
isn't good enough. But it wouldn't
Thank
have been about
that
Mike
toss.
Vrabel should have gone for two. It would have been like, what's happened to this defense? This defense is atrocious. They can't stop anybody. And by the way, that's probably still the narrative, but it tends to be a lot quieter when you're 5-0, right? I mean, that's just naturally how it works. If they're 1-4, then that's all we're talking about. This whole week is the defense is a mess.
Yep.
Where's the defense? The defense is a train wreck. They can't stop anybody. This team is going nowhere. They can't. They have to score 40-something to win a game.
I'm hoping somebody asks Mike Vrabel, and I don't know if they – did they ask him after the game? Did he really consider going for two right there, considering the defense is struggling? If you kick the extra point and you lose the toss, I think he would have said, I believed in the defense and all that stuff. But I just wonder, as they were approaching the goal line, of course, it's a frenzy, right? You got to score the touchdown first. But in his mind, he has to be thinking, when we score, am I going for two or am I not? Because you want to probably already let people know. You want to let Arthur Smith know. You want to say, hey, we score, we're going for two here. So just so you know.
Well, we'll hit Teron Davenport on the other side to kick off the second hour with all these questions and more. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.